I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Another outbreak, but the NFL giving Antonio Brown 8 games for violating the personal conduct policy, Mike. And before we get deeper into our NFL blitz, I just want to ask you, so did the Patriots have insight into this and that's why they let him go? Or was it simply because of what had happened while he was there? You know, I'm just thinking back, right?
Right. And yeah, I mean, it just,
they
it was
needed
weird.
Him.
Yeah,
they needed
it was,
him.
It was weird how it went down. And I think, you know, whether you think there was some media pressure in Boston that they were bringing some heat, and there was heat at that point. So I don't know if they just succumbed to that, or they just felt that, yeah, there was going to be a suspension coming down. And they maybe just thought, you know, one way or another, they think this guy's going to get some kind of trouble with the commissioner in the NFL. Because remember, that's the Raiders. You had him bounce about, maybe there was the helmet issues, and the Patriots said, we'll take it from here after he left the Raiders. But then the issue came up about the former artist who was painting for him at his home, and she alleged sexual assault and harassment. And then again, the other shoe hadn't dropped with that. So I don't know if that's why they cut bait, because certainly they needed playmakers, a wide receiver, man. That was a major problem last year. The wide receiver they drafted wasn't ready to play just yet.
So they're saying there are a couple of teams that are still going to be interested in Antonio Brown. And again, you don't know how the season turns out. Mike and I always say that, you know, you have injuries, major injuries at that position. Right. You can say right now, we're not interested. You know, let your number one receiver go down, and all of a sudden you're picking up the phone and you're calling Antonio Brown. Right. So teams know he's just got to, you know, he's going to have to sit out 8 games. But, Mike, would you be prone, and this is why I'm asking this, to do it now? Like, pick him up, let him be suspended for the 8 games, right, so that you might have him on the back half of the season?
Like what happened with Kareem Hunt.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I say for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, the guy, now look, I get it. It seems like at this point it's kind of diminishing returns for Antonio Brown. I don't know. I mean, if he really has hit, I don't know. Has he hit rock bottom? Is he grounded now? Can he do the things? I still think the guy's a physical freak, and I would still roll the dice on him. And I like, it's about results. And this guy, despite being a wackadoodle, can still put the results up for you.
All right, man. More on this as we find out, you know, more and more details. But it's pretty clear cut as far as the games are concerned. It's more about what team's going to take a chance on him now. It is due to
Because that what happened to Kareem, right? The rule, I'm sure to cut you off. The ruling came down on Kareem Hunt, and then the Browns picked him up.
That's right. They picked him up, and he had to sit out. But they basically owned his rights, and when he was ready to play again, you know, that was the thing. Everybody kept saying, man, look at this Browns offense and all the weapons they're going to have. Right. With the addition of Kareem Hunt, you know, with Chubb and the wide receivers they have, and Landry and Odell Beckham. But, you know, we still didn't see that turn out the way it should have, because, again, the OC and the head coaching and the culture. We'll see if that all changes. But, yes, same similar kind of deal with Antonio Brown. And, by the way, I've been very critical of Antonio Brown because I think he's been an idiot. But with that said, I can't debate his talent. And, you know, people have already said, if dude doesn't ever play again in the league, Mike, he put up 6 or 7 seasons that might get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the guys hit me up all the time. It's like, you know, why would you want him? And I don't want him for the Falcons, but if I had a team that needed wide receiver help, the guy can still bring it. Like, the guy is still a freakish athlete with tremendous skills. He's just a head case, you know, and that's why we give kudos to Mike Tomlin for him being able to manage that ego for all those years in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, great point. All right, man, we got more NFL news on the way. Also coming up this hour, NBA restart. We'll get to your thoughts and also hear from LeBron, as he did not have a great shooting night, but made plays when it was necessary last night. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right. Jamal Adams says, Mike, he plans to retire as a Seahawk. Dude, you hadn't even played a down for him yet. Really?
Look, I think he'd, at this point, he'd play for the Edmonton Eskimos. He's just so happy to be out of New York and Adam Gase and that dysfunctional franchise. But, all right, man, look, it's nice to be wanted. And when you look at what the Jets got in return, I mean, some saying Seattle got hoodwinked on this deal. So I guess he feels like, yeah, that's the place for him now.
All right, let's hear from Adams on his excitement
to be there. Hard, and I, you know, I asked God to place me where I needed to be, whether that was to go back to New York or whether that's to be traded. This is my calling, man. I'm here to stay, and I'm excited to be a Seattle Seahawk, like I said, and I'm really overwhelmed, but at the same time, man, it's so surreal to be around a great organization like Seattle, to be coached by legendary coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, playing with Hall of Famers, Russ to Bobby, KJ, Bruce Irvin, Quandre, the list goes on and on, man. I'm just excited to be here. I'm here to help. I can't wait to get out there in front of the 12s.
How about that? How about ingratiating yourself to Seattle right there, huh?
Well, listen, you said it's one thing to be wanted. It's another thing to want to go and be a part of that community, you know, be a part of the makeup and the fabric of what's going on there with Seattle and its fan base. So I'm not mad at him. I just found it funny when he was like, yeah, I want to retire as a Seahawk. It's like,
right.
You got to make a play first. I mean, can we get some downs in you?
Hey, the dude, as we said, he's one of the best, you want to say, top three defenders. I mean, this guy is a safety that makes plays all over the field. So, like I said, I get it. He fits. He's better than what Cam Chancellor was. And I get Seattle. I get the mindset. Let's go for it. Let's go get as much as we can, you know, right now while we have the window with Russell Wilson in his prime. And, yeah, some would say, wow, two first-round picks. And if you're a Jets fan, I mean, what does it even matter? You've lost another star player, and you have no idea what you're going to do because you've had more first-round picks than anybody. You don't do anything with him. Or once you get a star, he doesn't want to be there.
So John Gruden, Mike, says, and this is a direct quote, we want to crush the virus. Gruden is worried about coronavirus, but did say that in the Las Vegas review that we want to beat it and we want to crush the virus. He's talking about, you know, how awful it's been and how the NFL is coping. But it's the first time we've heard from John Gruden. Remember, Raiders in Vegas now. And, guys, we won't even get a chance to see them in their, you know, with fans in the stands in their new digs.
Right, you know, John, we got to get this thing out of here. We need a vaccine right there. Okay, John. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think we all feel the same way the coach does. And I wonder what kind of season Carr's going to have. You know, and I saw a stat the other day that was crazy about, like, he's right up there as far as the elites in, like, fourth quarter comebacks. But you don't think of that with Carr. You know, you think about him, like, probably maybe one season and done, right, with the Raiders. He's probably on thin ice.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to make of the Raiders. I don't think they're there yet. And I still don't believe, like, deep down, that Carr is his guy. You know what I mean? I don't feel that way.
And again, I still don't understand going and getting, Mariota? Because Mariota's a player. I mean, he couldn't hold his job to Ryan Tannehill. I don't know what he does. You don't consider him a better thrower than Carr. So we'll see. Meanwhile, it's our NFL Blitz. Larry Fitzgerald talking to the Arizona Republic saying, yes, he's back. And everyone was happy that he was going to come back for another season. And obviously to go get DeAndre Hopkins and all the weapons they've added, you know, for Cliff Kingsbury. But he said he is still looking at this through the prism of personal and family safety. So he said he's here now, but he said, look, he understands that this is, and he said, use the phrase, which I love. He said, the NFL is too big to fail. We have hope and faith that things will be done the right way. But he goes, if I get the feeling it's not, I'll be out of here. That's a guy that draws a lot of water. I mean, we're big fans of Larry Fitzgerald, but I think that's a pretty adult take.
It is.
Nothing you could really fault with that.
No. And, you know, again, I just don't know how people could be disappointed or upset when you hear these veteran players and guys with the kind of clout that he brings saying these things, you know?
Right.
It's just kind of the world we're in right now with players and where they're at. And we could have a situation, Mike, again, where guys could start and then go, I'm not going to play. So it's kind of a wait-and-see situation. Let's hear from the NFL chief medical officer. His name is Alan Seals. And he says, Mike, he is optimistic about this season.
We've said that all options are on the table, including missing games or more than one game. If necessary. But I think what you have to look at is each case is unique. It depends on how many people are infected, the time course, a lot of factors about that host city. So it's hard to give you an algorithm and say, well, it's this number or this number. But clearly we recognize that we're going to have to be flexible and adaptable throughout the whole season. And we'll have to respond to these challenges as we come up.
So this is, again, the NFL chief medical officer. If he says, we got to shut it down. The NFL has to shut it down, right?
Theoretically.
That's so,
why I'm asking. You know,
I presume they've got better guys as their medical directors, because for years they had guys that were like basically glorified chiropractors talking about concussions. But yeah, I mean, I presume if that's the way it's set up, if he says it's a no-go, okay, but what has to happen for that for him to actually pull the trigger?
Yeah, I just, when I heard him say this, and I'm thinking about, okay, NFL chief medical officer, if he says, it's too dangerous, we've got to shut it down. Are the NFL owners going to go, yeah, he's right, and shut it down?
Hey, can I be chief medical officer for Dukes and Bell? Can I talk like Bones on Star Trek? Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. All right, we'll see. Some would say conflict of interest. But again, if you feel that he really is above it all and he's like a third party within the organization, okay, it's a bit of a stretch. Because of obviously the COVID-19 concerns, we heard about Damian Williams. And along with Dante Hightower, I would say that Damian Williams is probably the biggest name. A guy who's given up a chance to put some more money in his pocket with a big year. Find out more information now. He told the SiriusXM NFL Radio, Carl, that his mom has got stage 4 cancer. And that was the concern for him. He goes, sat down, talked to everybody in my circle, my family. And he goes, my mom was just like, whatever your decision, I'm behind you. But he just feels that for him, this is the right decision right now. He'll make $1.85 million minus the amount of his 2020 stipend. And then he'll hit the free agency market in 2022. So he is, you know, again, taking the family over the dollars, literally.
It is Dukes and Bell NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. More on the NBA restart coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Stay right there. Texans coach and general manager, don't know if he'll be that by the end of the season, Bill O'Brien says, Mike, they're working hard on trying to get a deal with Deshaun Watson, his representatives, on a contract extension. Watson, obviously, Georgia boy. You guys know him from Clemson. If you didn't watch him in high school, scheduled to make about $4 million, 4.4 this season. If they do give him a new deal, he'll still play under that deal, this current deal. Sort of like Matt Ryan's deal, Mike, where they gave him the extension. You play out your current deal, and then you get the boost, right? And that's probably what's going to happen with him. Either way, I think this is a no-brainer. You got a franchise quarterback. We've seen it with Pat Mahomes. Go ahead and take care of him. I do not, again, think he's going to get $503 million, but he may get an 8-year extension, you know, or 400 and something, depending on how they shape this thing. But Mahomes right now, the gold standard, and then I do think Deshaun Watson comes in a close second, or Lamar Jackson will be the guy to surpass Mahomes if he's able to win a Super Bowl this year.
Right. I mean, right now, I'd still put Russell Wilson right there with Mahomes and then Lamar. And again, Deshaun, unfortunately for him to lose a weapon like D-Hop and then basically get, you know, solid but not spectacular wide receiver pieces, that sucks for him. But yeah, I'm with you, bro. He's the face of the franchise. And whether Bill O'Brien's here or not down the road, he's going to be there. He'll be there longer than the coach. I think we can all agree. Hey, we mentioned more guys tapping out. Not exactly household names. We already talked about Damian Williams. We mentioned Dante Hightower, all the guys on the Patriots. Big defensive tackle for Jacksonville named Al Woods signed a 1-year deal. Not a major star, but he just decided that he is going to opt out, along with a man named Isaiah Prince, backup tackle for the Bengals, and another guy, Josh Tupou, defensive tackle. These are the latest. Again, not big names, but that's one thing, Carl. It's the guys that really need to grind to get, you know, more money, the pension we've talked about. But still, it's interesting when you see more players that you would think maybe would probably try to risk it because they need the dollar. I'm not saying these guys are all, you know, like paupers, but these are guys that are going to opt out for the 2020 season.
All right, guys. Again, if you're just joining us, NFL gives Antonio Brown an 8-game suspension for personal conduct policy, which we knew was coming. We just didn't know when this was going to hit. You know, and we had actually talked about this, geez, back in the spring.
Right.
And nothing had happened, and then coronavirus came along, and everything got pushed back. But that's the news today.
And we also found real quick before we go to break that they're going to use referees geographically, which means I guess a lot of Jerome Boga, the ladies' man, because NFL referees to be assigned geographically. See how that shakes out more when we get more information on it.
All right. NBA's back. He looked really good last night. He didn't play great, but when it mattered most, Dukesism, they win a game. And tonight we've got more as the Beard and Luka are in action. We'll talk about the return of the NBA next. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. I'm just laughing at John. John, who drove in yesterday because he didn't want to be messed with.
Yeah, Craig was in my ear going, yeah, you're making Fricky make these road trips now. You're putting Fricky's life in danger by making him get on the highway at his advanced age.
Oh, that's not right.
All you did was weaken a morning show. Sweet dreams, son.
How tough it is to get down to Midtown in a chariot? I mean, geez, guys.
Oh, come on now. You guys, you know he's on horseback. He doesn't even have a chariot. Okay. NBA restart last night. First of all, just initial thoughts, Mike. I know, like many people, we're watching the Braves, and then maybe you flip back and you want to see a little bit. And then after the Braves were over, I did flip over and watch, you know, the Lakers and Clippers. I did want to see how both of these games started with, you know, the NBA allowing their players to with social protesting and allowing them to make a stand and a statement. So I did want to see how that played out. But just initial thoughts, Mike, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, the game itself, I thought, yeah, we saw a little bit of rust on both sides. LeBron did not look like his normal playoff LeBron, but he when it mattered most, he was making some great defensive stops, defensive pressure, not allowing the Clippers to get a good look late in the game. The under, by the way, was the play. I apologize, I didn't give you guys some consumer news you could use, but the under was definitely the play because it was like, I think it was 220, and it was a combination of 204.
Wow.
But and the Lakers, it was a push because it was Lakers minus two. But Kawhi Leonard goes for 28. I just thought it was great to see Anthony Davis. All eyes on Anthony Davis about how is he going to up his game next level, because you know there's a lot of role players. We know how it is. It's a very top heavy team with the Lakers, but it was great to see Anthony Davis doing his thing, as I mentioned, LeBron. And again, it's a great way to kick it off. You really could not have been disappointed. Kawhi Leonard, you know, one of the best players against one of the best players late in the game, and the Lakers get the win. And I think we'll talk to Steve Koonin about it coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, CEO of the Hawks. I thought it was a great way for the NBA to roll back.
I did too. And remember, Lakers, when we stopped the season, Lakers had the best record. Clippers are right there with 44 wins. We think this might be a preview, again, and of what the NBA Finals could be, the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, LeBron being LeBron. And it's funny because Abe's the morning show producer for John Rickey and Hugh Douglas. And I tweeted this morning the retweet of LeBron making that defensive stop that you're talking about, Mike, where he basically switched up on guys. It didn't matter who he was guarding. And Abe was in Cleveland when LeBron was there early in his career the first time. And we were having this conversation, and he tweeted back at me saying, I've seen this LeBron before where he's just motivated. Listen, I don't know how many more years he's going to play at this level. Mike, he's been in the league 17 seasons. 17. So, you know, it's like we just think that he's going to go in some chamber and continue to play at this level. At some point, guys, I don't care who you are, the legs just don't do what they used to do. And so if he's got, let's just say, 3 years left, it's imperative for him, I think, in a legacy standpoint. Is he one of the greatest all times? Yes. Do I love him? Yes. But when you start talking about that comparison, Mike, that everybody wants to talk about, you go to L.A. and win a championship or two before it's all said and done, I think that's a hard argument to deny LeBron, you know, top two or three status ever.
No, I mean, look, we've talked about it. I mean, it's just different eras. But when you look about it, look at it from that point of view, regardless of what you thought, it was built-in championship in Miami to go back to Cleveland when nobody thought that would really succeed ultimately and get that title and take one from Golden State. But this is wholly different because look at this team. I mean, it was Kyle Kuzma last night, who was actually in the bench, by the way, for the Lakers. Not bad. Waiters was actually pretty sharp when he was, in there. It's funny. You see guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, it's like, wow, it's like just a role player. Remember, he's going to be a thing, you know, way back when. But the Lakers, you're going to have to lean. Everybody's going to have to lean on their benches, you know. And I still think it's a mistake. They could have gone right to the playoffs, but it was great to see. I don't think you could really have had a better return back. Carl and I already talked about, you know, the Black Lives Matter and the tribute or protest, however you want to look at it. You know, it depends. I guess it all depends on which way you're coming from on this one. But we said we're not going to argue it because there's people out there you're not going to convince either way or for the argument. But it was a powerful message, and there was unity last night for the NBA.
Yeah. I think, you know, we said not everybody's going to kneel, and that's fine. And it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for or stand with what this is about or the cause. But, you know, I think unity matters when you have a majority, and it looked like pretty much everybody, especially with the restart last night, of guys doing this. So, you know, the messages on the jerseys, Mike, I don't even know if we mentioned this the other day, but, you know, college sports is going to allow this too, where they're allowed to have, you know, social messages on their jerseys. So this is something we're seeing across the board. And I just don't think if you're a person that's living in a box, and when I say that, let's not be mean, but if you think this is what sports is and this is how it needs to be, things evolve and they change. And right now we're seeing an evolution in how this, these games are being presented. It's not going to go back. Okay? So if you're one of these people who go, I just don't get it or I don't understand or I don't like it, you have every right to feel that way. But the other part of it is that this is where we are, and this is not going to regress. This is not going to go back to 1980 with boy shorts, you know, and high socks pulled up. It's not going to happen.
Like I said, I mean, two ways of looking at it. You know, this, the people that I know, and as I said to Carl, I mean, I don't want to think like, you know, when I get off the radio, I'm talking to my friends and they're all like, you know, complete just dirt bags. But no, we've got a full spectrum of friends. I've got friends that are very liberal, friends that are very conservative, friends that are very old school, you know, and it's, once I hear that argument about, you know, disrespecting the military, I'm like, all right, I'm not even going to go down this road, because we covered this ground under the Kaepernick protest back from 16 through 17. But I told one guy I went to high school with, I was like, dude, then you know what? Then set your DVR for 7:04, okay? And then you can go right to the tip. And then you don't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
You know, I said it, look, if you don't like, if you don't want sports mingling with real life issues, you know, and by the way, if you think these athletes, some of these athletes don't even have an opinion on this, they're just going along with it, which I do think exists in some sports, which is a shame. Some guys just don't want to rock the boat. Some guys are very passionate about it, just like in real life. But I mean, I don't know, maybe because I'm in the business and we talk about this, it's water over the, to me, it's water under the bridge. Not that it means nothing to me, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah, no, I get it. It doesn't affect your viewing habits is what you're saying. One way or the other. And if you want to watch the game, you're going to watch the game, and that's not going to affect how you feel about watching, you know, the best teams play. I'm with you. I don't disagree. You know, we said this. It's all about the games. At the end of the day, right, it's still about the competition, the games. You know, at last night when LeBron's making those plays defensively at the end of the game and the game winner, you know, a follow-up, I wasn't thinking about how the game started. Right. I wasn't thinking about, right, you know, guys kneeling. I was watching the game and going, oh, is he going to hit this shot? That's what we do as sports fans. So that's not to say that it's lost, but, you know, I do think there's something to be said about, you know, a two-minute segment to start a game and people just going bananas and thinking, you know, it's the worst thing ever. I don't believe that, but as I said, you're entitled to your opinion. I just want people to realize that, you know, because this is what I get, Mike, and it's almost racist in a way. When is this going to stop?
Well, that's just, see, there,
when,
you go.
When is it going to end?
Yeah, that's why I have these conversations, you know, with certain people in my life. I go, you know, you're in a gated community. Like, I joke around. You know, I've said this before. I go, what is your interaction with an African-American? One of my buddies lives in Westchester. Watching the Jets, you know, watching the Knicks on TV. I go, what are you talking about? But as I said, it's going to be difficult in some cases. And we'll ask Steve Coonan about this in about an hour from now, because they do know that there are going to be some viewers that are going to have a problem with it. But then demographically, does that matter to the NBA?
Yeah, because I do, as I said earlier, you know, having a conversation with a guy, we started the show talking about a friend of mine asking me about what I thought, and we had a conversation, and his dad, who has to be now in his 70s, you know, had a differing opinion. I to be honest, I don't know if the Hawks changed their uniforms for a guy in his 70s. No disrespect. That's I don't know if the NBA is trending for guys that are 75 or older. That's not to say they wouldn't mind you watching, but that's kind of, you know, that's, I don't know if that's their target audience, Mike. So right, you're going to have a section of fans and a section of society that's older and feels differently. But guess what? My parents felt differently. They saw different crap. They experienced right, different things. Right. They felt differently. So, you know, it goes the full spectrum of when you start talking about this. Well, I get it. A 70-year-old guy may not, you know, like the idea of guys kneeling and understanding what this cause is all about. But again, I don't know if the NBA is particularly targeting those individuals right now when they're trying to grow their audience from a worldwide perspective.
Right. The other aspect of this is they embrace their players and they understand whether it's a passion. It's a passionate issue for a number of NBA players, and so they're not, you know, they're not going to put their head in the sand, turn their back on their players. They're giving the players the forum to do that. And look, I'm with you. First off, I said this earlier in the show. I'll repeat it. I formulate my opinions. I try to read up on things. I life experience, all the things you and I've talked about. especially with race here in America, in my experience, you know, from the North, moving to the South, living in Atlanta. I don't need an opinion from an athlete. I'm glad that he has an opinion. I'm glad that he's entitled. Certainly, as an American, you're entitled to do whatever you want to do. But, you know, I don't lose sleep over it. But I think people, as you said, unfortunately, because of the flag and what the flag means to Americans, and when you try to break this down, well, again, your experience is so different than these guys' experience. And they look at things differently. And they don't value, I mean, not that they don't value the freedom or all the things we love about our country, but it's like they haven't had the same experience that you've had. So in some cases, it's been a really crappy experience for some. And again, this opens up the can of worms. And I hear all these arguments from people, well, you know, what about the inner city and what about violence? Yeah, there's a million things that we need to fix in this country. But, you know, to sit there and cross your arms and go, screw those guys, that's not a step to a solution, right?
No, it's not. And why does it have to be tit for tat, by the way?
I don't
understand that either.
Eye for an eye, making the world blind, as Gandhi said. But it just drives me crazy with some of this stuff. Yes, there's all sorts of things with the protests that were over the line and things that got away from the message we talked about, but we're not talking about that. That's where, again, the message gets lost on some people, and you feel like you're just talking in circles. And that's what we have just basically done. I hope that more guys get on board, but as you said to start the program, there's just people out there, Carl, they're not going to be won over by this. And that maybe doesn't matter to the NBA because those people are probably going to die sooner than later.
All right. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. I got a big piece of meat that I'm working with. I'll tell you about.
You know what? You know, I have to deal with this when you're on the golf course. You know, you it's bad enough you're going to bring this on the radio broadcast.
We'll find out what Bo Morgan is working with. We'll give a big shout out to Buckhead Butcher Shop. We want to hear and see what you guys have got going on today and over the weekend. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
We will evaluate the decision made by the SEC. Coming up, it's part of our dog report. But right now, it is Yeah Man, No Man. It's our Friday edition, which means hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Use the hashtag, send us your picks. Put something on the grill, man. Something small, something big. It doesn't matter. We're just sharing, having a good time. We've been doing this for weeks now since we've been at home. And Bo Morgan, how are you today? What's going on?
Oh, I am rolling. Great day. Got a haircut for the first time in like 3 months.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's been way too long. I hit some balls today, getting ready for some golf this weekend. And so, you know, cooking at home is different today. Everybody knows I normally do a, you know, big piece of meat, or I've got some tomahawks on the grill, something like that. But when we were at Buckhead Butcher Shop, I saw something in the freezer that really, really caught my eye. And it was wild boar sausage that looked like they were the size of brats. And so I bought them, and they've been in my freezer. And because our neighbors really wanted to do they wanted to do their version of tugging at home. They're cooking a braised beef bolognese tonight for us.
Oh, that sounds great.
And he sent me the recipe. I am super, super excited for this. So
it's like a veal osso buco, Carl, the braised beef. Yes, please. I'm all over that.
Delish. It does sound good.
I told him, I said, dude, I got lunch today. And so I cooked those wild boar sausages, and I threw them in hot dog buns. I'm going to put some pictures up of them. I just threw them on the Traeger at 250 for probably on the top rack for probably like 30 minutes and let it get, you know, nice and smoked in there. And then I threw them down on the bottom rack, turned the heat up, and kind of just, I don't want to use the word sear necessarily, but just kind of put the marks on them and kind of let them crisp on the outside. Made sure they got to about 165 degrees, because with pork products, you always want to get around that. Personally, that's my personal opinion, but let me tell you something. It was amazing. If you go to Buckhead Butcher Shop, you've got to try the wild boar sausage. And when I tell you, treat it like it's a brat.
Right.
Treat it like it's a brat. It was unbelievable.
And by the way, before we get to more of what you got going on, just a second, that emotion, Carl, I had the Wagyu beef hot dogs that I picked up.
Yeah.
And I grilled those on Sunday when we got back from playing golf and down there on the Weber on the gas grill. But yeah, those are unbelievable, man. And just, it was, I felt bad just putting regular French's mustard on them, Squid. They're just like so delish. But anyway, yeah, they got some, it's not just obviously steaks. There's a million things. We're doing tuna tonight from Buckhead Beef, but they are fantastic. Far Road, guys, for folks who know Atlanta, on the behind the old $3 cafe right there on the short side of Far Road.
So, I think we have Mike Conti joining us. Mike, what do you got going today?
You know, I got the duck sausage from Buckhead Butcher Shop last week and did that Friday night, and it was really good, too. So they've got a good sausage game going on there at Buckhead Butcher Shop. So this is a big day because I have a new fire grate in the Big Green Egg. I have a new fire box in there and a new grate. Apparently, I got a little bit aggressive when I was trying to do a very high-heat sear on my last – well, that – you know, Big Green Egg, I appreciate their craftsmanship, and the warranty claim process was very, very easy. But I guess I got way too aggressive on heating up that grill to do a high heat sear, and that firebox split in half. And I did not know you could do that. Wow. Apparently, it does happen occasionally. And shout out to Big Green Egg. The warranty claim process was super easy. Got a new firebox almost immediately. So it's almost like I'm cooking on a new grill tonight. So to mark the occasion, I'm going to stop at Buckhead Butcher Shop on my way home. I already know what I'm doing. I'm going to do either steak Oscar or veal Oscar. The only question is, can I get a veal cutlet tonight? And guys, if you're listening at Buckhead Butcher Shop, if you have one in the back, that would be great. If not, I'll get one of those really good marbled New York strips. I know a lot of people, they like to do filet when they do steak Oscar. I like doing it on a strip because, quite frankly, I think it's more bang for your buck. Right. And they have that beautiful, Bo knows this because he got the sausage in the same cooler. They have that beautiful jumbo lump crud meat. Leanne's going to make a Bernays sauce, and if she cannot pull that off, we have an envelope of hollandaise sauce as a backup. And that's what we'll do. We'll grill some asparagus, grill the steak and or the veal, hopefully the veal, and top it with some jumbo lump crab meat, steak Oscar tonight.
Oh, fantastic.
That sounds great. And by the way, the veal, let me know. I know that, and by the way, we talk about, you know, Buckhead Butcher Shop. It's Dukes and Bell. It's, you know, Yeah Man, No Man. It's our Friday edition where we all talk about what we've got cooking. Send us your pictures, by the way. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put them up. See Dukes. Mike Conti, 929. And, of course, Squid Billy at 929. But Mike Conti, let me know about the veal because I know he told us, you know, we just got to let him know.
We got to call ahead. And I forgot to call ahead. I got so bogged down on the breaking news with everything going on yesterday. So I'm hoping against hope they may have a couple cutlets in back, but if not, I'll call ahead for next week.
So again, if you're listening, guys, at Buckhead you know, Butcher Shop, how's the Italian food in this restaurant? Try the veal. It's the best in the city. I'll have it. So there you go, man. Go get it on, brother. That sounds great.
It does. They are listening, by the way. They are frequent listeners, and we appreciate their love and certainly their support. Fellas, I put a 5 pound, 5.5 pound maybe brisket on today. You know, I'm calling it, it's called midnight brisket because you slow cook it, and that char, the way it turns the color, and so that's what they call it. But it's been on, and it remains on. I have put it on early this morning, probably somewhere around 8 o'clock. But the key was the marinade. I marinated it, you know, with the rub 2 days ago and let it sit. And so it had a rub of some chicken rub, beef rub, and some Worcestershire sauce. It's a couple of different things in there. So I'm really curious to see what flavors come out of this. But I'm going to pull it off here once it gets to about 225 internally. So I think it's got maybe another hour or so, and then I'm going to let it rest. But doing that with some sides, some baked sweet yams, Mike, with honey, goat cheese, some brown sugar, and some pecans. And then also doing some mushrooms, some smoked mushrooms tonight as my side. So I'm pretty excited as well, Mike Conti. I'm excited like Mike Conti tonight.
Man, that's great. And by the way, because you guys are so gourmet, it's time for me to get off my butt. A lot of guys have been saying, how do you let your wife do all this cooking, you wuss? So, yeah, last week I did the steaks. They came out great. Obviously, those Cajun cowboy. Mike, they tasted like Dickie Brennan's down in New Orleans.
One of my favorite steakhouses in the world, Dickie Brennan's down in New Orleans.
Yeah, and that's real quick. Just while we're talking about it, I know some guys have said, well, I mean, can I afford these guys? Yeah, I mean, there's like you're paying for the quality, but if you do it right, the way I was lucky enough to do it last week, or Mike does it every week, you're basically saving yourself an expensive dinner at a restaurant because you're getting restaurant quality.
You're getting restaurant quality for a fraction of the restaurant price, and it doesn't have to be that hard either. I mean, the good thing is, the quality of meat they have there at Buckhead Butcher Shop, it's so good. You don't have to go crazy on the seasoning. You don't have to go crazy on the preparation method. Salt, pepper, put it on the grill. It's that simple. Even you can do it, Mike.
And that's what I'm doing tonight. So I'm taking a stab at what Becky did last week, and it's the seared sesame crusted tuna, where we use some black sesame seeds, some white sesame seeds, and we're going to use some other stuff out there. Put a little cayenne. You're going to make a lot of spice, a lot of heat, and then basically just boom, boom. You flip it over, and it's just so good. It's like it felt like I was at Nobu. So that's what we're going to take a crack at tonight. We've got the mac and cheese, which they sell, by the way, from Buckhead, Buckhead Butcher Shop, and we're also going to do like a spicy coleslaw. So yeah, I'm excited, and I learned by doing, like Fredo, Carl. I'm not dumb. I'm smart. I can do things.
Well, that's the thing with cooking, man, and it is trial, you know, by error. Yeah. You got to try it, and you know, Conti can attest to this. Bo will. For all the years I've been doing, you will burn some stuff up.
Oh,
it just happens, you know.
How many times, Carl? You're from Texas, so you have an advantage on us. But how many times did you have to do a brisket before you finally got it right?
Well, and here's the funny thing, Mike. So when I started doing this years ago, right? They didn't have all the devices that we have now. And I'll give you an example. Buckhead Butcher Shop, they have a device. It's called the meter, all right? Spelled M-E-A-T-E-R, meter. And Mike Conti, I believe, has one. Ranted and raved about it. I've got some other devices that I've had over the years, but literally this is like a thermometer. You put it in, you set it, the app on your phone, and it allows you to literally walk away, and when it reaches its internal temperature, your meat is ready. I didn't have all that. So the point was, it was trial by error, and you're going, I think it's ready. All right, I'm checking the temperature. I'm not sure. It looks right. And so there was a lot of times where it was just a little bit overcooked or maybe even undercooked in some cases until I found how to perfect it. But now it's so much easier with all the tools they have.
You know, Bo has that Batman time bomb thing, temperature probe, and I don't know if he's told the story on the air, but Bo, I understand you put the Traeger into self-destruct mode last weekend by accident.
Yeah, and I was about to, and it's funny that you say that, because I was going to back up what you guys were just telling Mike, that, hey, we all learn by, I mean, my grill literally blew up the other on Sunday night in between pulling the steak to rest before I seared them. I mean, literally the lid came open with fire coming out of it. Mike Conti just told us that he split his firebox on his big green egg. I mean, we all have mistakes, but I mean, yeah, I thought my Traeger was going to blast off. I didn't make a mistake.
I didn't make a mistake. I use that big green egg a lot, and fatigue cracks can happen. I would not call that a mistake. Let's take it easy now.
That's wear and tear. That's wear and tear.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, Mike Conti, have a great weekend.
You too.
Send your picks, guys. This is a lot of fun. You guys know we are foodies. You know, if we're not cooking, well, the only reason obviously we're cooking a lot more is because we've been at home. But, you know, we'd be talking about restaurants and our adventures as we make our way around the city and elsewhere. But this has really connected us with you guys. So send your pictures at Dukes and Bell 929, Mike Conti 929, Mike Bell ATL. Put them up, C Dukes, and Squid Billy 929. Squid, let's finish this thing out.
All right, guys. I don't know if you've noticed a theme with my music all week, but my music has been a certain band that called AC/DC. It's all been off a certain album called Back in Black. It's the 40th anniversary of Back in Black. I believe it dropped either this week or next week. Mm-hmm. And so we've been piping that in. We want to thank Buckhead Butcher Shop as always. They've supplied over a week's worth of meals, it seems like, for me. So, guys, like Carl said, send all your pictures. Hashtag Deuce and Bell tailgate at home 2020. Craig, hit my music.
Carl, can't tell you how many times, man, riding to Jones Beach with our newspaper route, we had like a plastic like milk carton box, you know, like attached to the handlebars with the boom box in there on my Mongoose listening to this. We probably played this cassette till the thing like just burned up. But yeah, man, that was like the soundtrack of a lot of people's early 80s.
Wow. Well, good stuff, Squid. Good choice. And, you know, sentimental to a lot of folks, as Mike is attesting. Hey, guys, we got to the dog report coming up. Getting a 10-game conference schedule was easy. We'll explain the hard part next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.